The verses that I wanted to look at, particularly this evening, come from chapter 11, as we read, but in verses 28 to 30. And it says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now here is a couple of verses that we're probably all rather familiar with. We may have received them in times of trouble, in times of trial. We may have even offered them to other people who are also in a time of burden for themselves. And what's so lovely about these verses is it's an invitation. It's an invitation to those who are unsaved, an invitation to come and lay that burden of sin to Jesus, that he may deal with their sin. But it's also assurance to the child of God, assurance that we can return to him with whatever burdens we have in this world, and that he can deal with them, that we take upon ourselves the yoke that he has for us, and to learn of him, and then in through that we find rest unto our souls. It's not only just a promise, but this illustration teaches us again the sinful nature of our hearts and our tendencies. And such is the teaching of Jesus. Doesn't it reflect our natures at all times? You see, the rest here that Jesus is talking about is not something of a physical attribute. We know that rest is something much deeper within. If rest was to do with the physical element, we could say that this day, in our day and age, at this time now, that our country is at a time of rest. Well, there aren't many people going to work, there aren't children going to school, we're only allowed outside for a limited amount of exercise. Well, we should be very well rested in this time. But we know that that is not the case. No, our country is in a state of great unrest, because it's something deeper, it's something within that's being challenged. Our spirit is in great turmoil, because we're dealing with something that's unknown, an uncontrolled element is affecting us, and our sinful human nature, which demands this kind of self-sufficiency, is being challenged. No, true rest is not from staying at home. It's not about how much we understand about our circumstances and putting an answer to everything. It's not how much money that we have to fall back on in times of trouble. No, true rest is that which can withstand all these things, all these fiery trials. We can still be rested. And as Jesus tells us, that rest only comes from him. If we take that yoke upon us, then we will learn of him and our souls will be rested. In our scripture reading, we read from verse 20. And here we find that Jesus is speaking about the Jewish people in their blindness towards Christ and who he was, and the truth about sin. And you see, the trouble was is that they were pursuing what they believed would bring them peace and rest. And this was through salvation, through the working of the law. Well, we know that this method that they pursued was not true rest, but it was a burden. In Matthew 23, Jesus describes this burden that the scribes and the Pharisees place upon the people. He says, "All therefore whatsoever they bid you, observe, and observe to do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens, and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." And so it's the same now, isn't it? In today's society, the whole world is striving for something that's unobtainable. This peace and rest that is from the soul, they're telling us that we need through a good education, through a good job. We can buy a nice big house and drive a snazzy car. Then we can be at rest. And then we can be satisfied within ourselves. That is not the rest that we naturally yearn for. But is this the feeling or the burden that we have today? Are there things in life still that are still burdening us? And if so, we are invited by the meek and lowly one, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the King of Kings, God in the flesh, the one who knows all, who sees all, and who hates sin above all. He has every right to compel man by the sword, through fear. But the truth is he doesn't come this way. No, he comes meek and lowly as the gentle, loving Saviour. Not like some angry father who is irritated by the concerns of his children. You know, this is the way that many people see God, as an angry one. But this is not true of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He is loving and kind. He wills his children that they should bring their burdens. This is a Saviour who looked upon Jerusalem in their sin and in their blindness and was in floods of tears over their estate. This is a man that we can trust. This is a man who is approachable. Jesus, he was an approachable man. You see, in the accounts we read that he loved the sinner. He spent time with any kind of individual. Even the diseased felt comfortable to approach him. Children flocked to him when he was teaching. I always think that such a good judgment of character is how children determine someone to be. They trusted Jesus. He was an approachable man. So what do we have to fear tonight in approaching him? In approaching him when he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour." He's an approachable one, and he has promised to ease our burden, to give us rest in our souls. So whether it's rest for our burden for the first time, whether it's the burden of sin that is crushing us, or whether it's us as a child of God approaching him for the 100th time in repentance, bringing him the burdens of our everyday life. No, Jesus upbraideth not. He wants us and wills us to come to him and to bring him our burdens. And so, in the fashion of Christ's teaching, he gives us a simple and understandable picture that would have been relevant in those days, that of a yoke. Now, just to remind you that a yoke is a beam which was used as a coupling device. And it would hold two oxen together so that they may be able to pull certain loads, whether that was raw materials or a wagon or some sorts, or even to plow a field. They were like the biblical version of a tractor, if you like, the power that they required to perform these tasks. And so we are told that under this yoke is where we are going to find true rest. And so when reading and studying about the methods of using a yoke and using oxen, it brought up some beautiful parallels in relationship to us and Christ, our Saviour, and how we walk with him and how he works with us. And so when training a steer being a young bull who is going to become an ox, when training one of these, the first thing that needed to happen was a relationship. Must be established with the master. You see, there's no way a steer would yield to a yoke unless it trusted the master. And so here we have Jesus, the meek and lowly one, the one that you can trust. And here he offers to take your burdens. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus makes it clear to us that to be in a place of rest does not mean no more work. We already established that. This is not a physical rest. This is a deeper spiritual rest of soul and of our heart. After all, we know that a yoke is a means of labour for pulling and for moving things. But the rest comes from the fact that we are bound to Christ through that labour. Not taking away the labour, but bound to Christ through that labour. You see, when it was common practice when training a young steer, that it would be yoked to an older, stronger and more experienced ox. As the younger would learn and try and pull away, as its old nature would tell it that this is not the place that it needs to be or wants to be, the older, more sturdy and mellow ox would keep it on course. And often we can question that idea of finding rest whilst being bound, can't we? It seems like an odd thing to express rest in a place where the steer is bound. But aren't there times when we have tried to pull away from our Saviour? Aren't there times when we have thought that the road that we're going down is not the way that we should be, and we've tried to pull away from it? Where we go, where we think best to go, and then when we come through, don't we just look back? And aren't we just so thankful for those unbreakable cords that tie us to Jesus? For the reality is that Christ has pulled us through, and if we had our own way, it would only lead
to destruction. We should be so thankful for these cords that bind us to him, for this yoke in which we are coupled to him with. To illustrate this further, I remember when Hudson was about 6 months old and he would really struggle to sleep throughout the day. And I'm sure, as many of you know, it can be quite a miserable time when your child isn't getting the sleep that they require. And so I soon learnt that the best way to do this was to hold him against my chest. And I would have to use quite a firm hold for him. And he would struggle and he would scream. It was quite heartbreaking at the time, but it's what needed to be done. And then when he finally succumbed, when he finally submitted to my strength, submitted to the fact that he wasn't moving, that he wasn't going anywhere, that's when he found rest and he got the rest that he needed, was in my arms like that. But this is not constraint. It was security. He found security in my arms. He knew that there was nowhere that he could go, and there he found comfort and fell asleep. And really, this is our greatest rest as children of God, the security of our salvation. John 5:24 says, Jesus is saying these words, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." These are such comforting words for us as children of God. This really explains us being yoked to him, those everlasting bands that tie us together. We have everlasting life. We shall not come into condemnation. And we have passed from death into life. These are present tense phrases that they're using. There's no possibility that we can come away from him. There's no way, there's no will of man, no scheme of hell that will pull us out of his hands. And when we just humble ourselves, when we submit to the authority of Jesus, it's him that keeps us on the path of salvation. The yoke of salvation will guide us because Christ is the one beside us the whole way. He's the one pulling us. He's the strong one. We're just there for the ride, really. You see, no other religion offers such rest that we have. No other religion allows for such assurance in their salvation. The Catholic faith tells us that we can lose such a thing. The Muslims, they teach you can live a righteous life, but it all depends on how God feels on the day of judgment. This is not so. No, our Saviour, when he saves us, we are saved eternally and we are sealed. Is this not our greatest rest? The knowledge in our Saviour who has us, who keeps us, who holds us in his arms. We just have to submit to him and realise that he has us and he will carry us the way. So now our song should no longer be about the load that we have to pull. We should no longer be thinking about the load that we are burdened with, but it should be, as long as I am with Jesus, as long as I am with him, no matter what the burden is placed on us. But Jesus teaches us that his yoke is easy and is light. And that's true, isn't it? When looking at this illustration of the steer learning to pull alongside the ox, the steer wouldn't really pull anything. The ox would be doing all the work. It was up to the steer to learn of the ox at this time, to imitate him, to become like him. You see, our labours in life, when we feel like they're getting on top of us, all we have to do is look to the Saviour. Look at what he's actually done. Compare our works with his works, and it should really put it into perspective for us. For example, when you and I, we struggle and we wrestle in prayer, and we don't know how to pray as we should, we're told that it is interceded for us. Christ takes those prayers, and only in their perfect state do they reach the throne of grace. When we sin, Jesus has already paid the price. When we wander away, when we don't want to go down that road, when we are going through trials and we wander away from Jesus, we are called back. When we witness to people, when we try and to minister, when we try and tell people of the love of Christ and his sacrifice and the redemption that he has for us, well, really, it's not us doing the work, is it? The Spirit moves the heart, and it's the Spirit which does the work of salvation. When we give of our lives, when we give our money, our time, our resources, it is returned to us 100-fold. When we sacrifice for a fleeting moment, we have all of eternity to enjoy God's riches. Yes, there's a load for us. We're in a yoke and there's a burden to pull. But isn't it a light and easy burden? We are so unequally yoked when we realise this comparison of work that is to be done. We are just a young steer next to the strong and faithful ox, Jesus Christ. We can also find rest in our learning of him. Jesus tells us to learn of him, for he is meek and lowly of heart. When we are yoked with Christ, we learn of him. Using the analogy, the young steer would just grow, would grow in maturity and strength while alongside the ox. And what's so lovely about this is that it was just a byproduct of the proximity to the ox. And it's the same with our walk with Jesus. When we walk with him, then that process of sanctification comes into play. We start to look like Jesus. We start to talk like him. We start to, our hearts are changed from that old, reckless steer that we once were to the meek and lowly one. And we start to look like him. Galatians 5, Paul really explains this process for us in the works of the Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit. We find, but if ye be led in the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is this not the natural man? Is this not how we once were in this state? Not to say that if we fall into these sins, that we have lost our salvation, but those who continue in this way, well, surely they're not walking with the Saviour. You see, if we walk with him, then we're going to be like him. And that's why they inherit not the kingdom of God. They are not yoked with Christ. He continues, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When we're yoked with Christ, this fruit will come forth. We will start to imitate him. Jesus says, isn't he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And this is the imitation. This is the learning of him as we live our lives walking alongside him, being yoked to Christ. And this should be, and we should find rest in this. Because when we realise we are imitating him, when we see the fruit in our lives, then that's just another assurance of our salvation. It should be a comfort. It's a sign of our communion with him, a mark of our salvation. In J.C. Ryle's book Holiness, he talks on the matter. He says, the names and the numbers of the elect are a secret thing, no doubt, which God has wisely kept in his own power and not revealed to man. It is not given us in this world to study the pages of the book of life and see if our names are there. But there is one thing clearly and plainly laid down about election. It is this, that the elect men and women may be known and distinguished by holy lives. You see, that is the comfort, that is the rest that we find in the imitation of God, in the learning of Jesus as we walk with him. You see, it's an exhausting way to live in the absence of Jesus. Whether we admit it or not, there are burdens that we need to deal with, that we need to bring to him. Are we in a position where we're ready to humble ourselves? You see, it's not a one-time thing. Yes, us as children of God, we have come, we have humbled ourselves, we have recognised that we need saving, that we need a saviour to deal with our sins, and we have come to him. But we need to constantly return to him, submitting and repenting. Jesus teaches, doesn't he, that we need to keep washing our feet because it's an ongoing work. The hymn writer writes, doesn't he, that we are prone to wonder, oh Lord, how we feel it. And don't we just feel that way sometimes? Well, there's still much that we feel burdened with, and often it can be our Christian pride, our pride as a Christian, that we know that we've been freed from sin and hell, that we should no longer feel these burdens, but the truth is we still do. Things of this world do get on top of us. And there are things that we cannot pull by ourselves, and often we have found ourselves to have wandered away from him. And God recognizes this often. And sometimes he will see that we are trying it alone, that we've wandered away from him. And he'll often give us a load much too heavy to handle. You know, I've heard it said many times as a means of comfort that the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. Well, this is not true. You know, that's a sentence that feeds our ego, that encourages that self-sufficient nature that we were saved from. The truth is, the Lord will give us more than we can handle. And then he'll give us some more. Because in that way, we have no other choice but to seek the strength of the Saviour. You see, we can't pull alone. We need that strong ox, the strength of Jesus Christ, to pull with us. Let's be yoked with him. Let's continue being yoked with him. You see, even the hardest of life's trials are for us to seek his face. That's why we're told to count it a blessing when we face trials. Because it's God calling us back to him, that we may improve that precious bond with him, to return to him. It reminds us of our frailty, but more so of his control and his love for us, and our security only found in him. You see, even as Christ was burdened with Calvary in the garden, he sought after the Father and was strengthened. You know, this is the imitation that we should be making, to seek God in these times where we are burdened. You see, when we spend time with the Lord, we are reminded of our situation, and again we find rest in him. Ephesians 1 is a beautiful chapter for us to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. And I've just chosen just a few snippets of the chapter that encourages us. It says here that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We are chosen before the foundation of the world. We are adopted by Jesus Christ. We are accepted. We are redeemed. Our sins are forgiven. We have obtained an inheritance. And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, doesn't this just put into perspective our lives here on earth as Christians? You know, these are the reasons that we can sleep at night. Because of this, for what God has done and for his love for us. And it's within that that we find our complete rest. Rest from this world. Rest from the burdens of life and of sin. What burdens are we facing this evening? Well, whatever your burden is, if it's a burden, Jesus is the answer. We're to go to him. We must be humble. We must submit ourselves to him, take on his yoke, to learn from him, to imitate him. You see, there's an invitation and a promise. And what possible reason do we have to refuse? See, he is meek and lowly. He upbraideth you not for coming to him. He wants to deal with your burden. And when we do, we have that right attitude of what Christ has done and our burdens in comparison. When thinking about this, I was reminded of the hymn by John Henry Samus. And it's called Trust and Obey. And it says, not a burden we bear and not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or will walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And isn't that just the mark of a Christian, to trust and obey? You see, we can find such rest if we just submit and trust and obey. There's no burden, there's no sorrow that will disturb that rest within our souls, because we know of what Jesus has done, and it's him that carries us through. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for your promises, Lord, that if we are labouring, if we are heavy laden, that you will give us rest. Lord, do help us to humble ourselves, to come unto you once again, to place our burdens at your feet, Lord. Lord, I do pray that if there is any listening that have not come unto you, have not yielded themselves to your authority, and have that burden of sin placed upon them, Lord, may they come. May you do that wonderful work of salvation in them. And Lord, we do pray for the child of God who may be struggling, who may be restless in these times. Father, may you ease their burden. May they come back unto you, Lord, and may they know of the strength of their Saviour. Lord, may we continue to imitate you, Lord. Continue that work of sanctification in us, Lord. And may you edify us and encourage us as we spend these weeks apart, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word again. In Jesus' name, amen.